Well, more than once, in fact. We traveled out there a number of times to Morwena with venture teams, and I distinctly remember out of hundreds of cities and towns and villages and hamlets, mean little places we went, including Morwena, we had a lovely reception there. The people were tremendous, and they touched our lives. A number of students ended up coming out of that community, being a part of venture teams, and that provides some really good memories for us. So I'm excited to have anyone other than Morwena to be here, especially those representing prison industries. So the rest of the time is yours, folks. Let's welcome them and let's enjoy.
We started the prison ministry in 96, and she was almost three. And so we've kind of just grown up as a family together, singing in the prisons of Western Canada. This is my wife, Vi, and I'm Lynn. We do come from Morwena. We make up about 10% of the population. this morning we have Natasha Sawatsky with us. She is She is the nanny. We always take a nanny with us to help us take care of the family. Not all the prisons let us bring the family in, and so she helps take care of the family and is doing a wonderful job. She is from McGregor, Manitoba. Gospel Echoes is a prison ministry that started a long time ago. It started out of Indiana, a family-style ministry that went into the prisons of the U.S. and Canada. Right now there's 5 different families traveling to about 500 different prisons. In Western Canada is the area we cover about a tenth of that, 50 of them. And there's one thing that Gospel Echoes is most popular for, this Red Atlas book. We just came from Edmonton and the chaplain said, he said to the inmates, he said, you know who Gospel Echoes is? This. And it's true that these little address books are very popular, and it's amazing. It was a chaplain that gave us this idea. He said, print a little address book, make it red, make it small enough to fit in a pocket. We put a couple of scripture verses in there, a sinner's prayer, and of course, a place for names and addresses and calendars. And we had no idea these things would be so popular, but across Western Canada, we give about 50,000 of these a year, and quite a few chaplains say thanks for the address books because all the inmates want them, and it puts a little bit of scripture into the hands of even the guys who would never come to the chapel. And so this is what Gospel Echoes is in prison, and in Duluth, we do gospel concerts. Thank you. getting a good feed there. Is the sound okay?
Sounds great.
What? Okay, all right.
This next song applies maybe mostly to the inside of that bus over there, but it might also apply to your lives, who knows?
Talking and laughing and carrying on throughout the whole service, and it was a little difficult doing the program and trying to keep our focus, but the chaplain wasn't too impressed and with that, and so after the service he kept these three guys back. He sat them down along with Lynn and myself, and we had a little visit, and so he asked Lynn and myself in front of these guys, so how does it feel doing this program and these guys are carrying on like that in front? And it was a little awkward, but yeah, we were honest. He said, it's kind of hard. But the thing that surprised me is that when the chaplain asked these guys, so what did you get out of the service? It was incredible, the stuff that they had caught, in spite of the talking that had been going on. And Lynn had shared the story about the prodigal son, and how that, in that culture, in that day and age, for a son to ask his father for the inheritance, was pretty much saying, Dad, I wish you were dead. And one of these inmates said, you know what, I can relate to that because that's pretty much what I said to my dad. And I thought, wow, you caught that? And it was amazing. And one of these guys, he showed us that he had the word sinner tattooed on his stomach. And he pretty much knew that he was He was trash. He was garbage. Everybody knew that he was a bad guy. He was just, there was a reason why he had that tattoo. And he asked us, why didn't you guys come in? And I thought, wow, what an opportunity to tell him that we came because we wanted him to know that there was hope for him, that God loves him and accepts him and extends mercy and grace to him. And you know what, to us felt like kind of a disaster of a program, ended up being an awesome opportunity to share the love of Christ with these guys. And wow, that's incredible, God's mercy and God's love. And to just be able to share that, we feel like we are so blessed to be able to do what we do and to be able to meet these guys firsthand and hear some of their stories, and it's just incredible to see how God is working in their lives.
It truly is an honor to travel around to all these prisons. We're just at the tail end of our spring tour, and we've been as far north as Yellowknife, and that was a first for us. And even there, it was good to make those contacts with guys that are hungry for the word. I talked to one guy who said, you know, he just came to the chapel because he was curious. He didn't know Christ. He didn't really know much about Christianity, but he wondered, why did we travel all that way to come and to do a gospel concert? And so he was curious. And all over we travel. One of the places we go to is the San Castillo Center. That's near Hobima. It's a federal prison for natives. And we've had just fantastic times in there. We've been so warmly received, and we love going in there. Well, in one of our last visits, there was a deaf inmate that came in after the service, and I wasn't aware of it, but we hadn't taken down the sound system yet. We were just visiting around with the guys, and also I noticed Andrea and Nikki were getting ready to sign a song because there was this deaf inmate. And so all kinds of experiences. In fact, last night again, we heard that there was a deaf inmate at Pine Grove, and so it was just fun to watch the eyes light up as Andrea and Nikki did a song and musical sign. So we'll have to do one song like that for you right now.
Turn back to praise. When the time
home straight away, so get ready for that. I said before what Gospel Echoes was most popular for was the address books. Well, I think the best thing that Gospel Echoes Prison Ministry is doing is offering the inmates a Bible study course. This Bible study course comes out of a contact with an inmate. Marv, the founder of Gospel Echoes, after one of these services in prison, went to visit a guy who had not been able to come to the service, and he noticed he was writing on a piece of paper, and he was writing Bible verses and comments about the verses, and then Mark noticed that the paper he was using was the back of a cigarette package that he had asked the janitor to give him. And this guy had a ring, and he had a whole bunch of cigarette packages on the ring. And so Mark asked him, is that all you have for Bible studies around here? And the answer was yes. And so Marv made a promise to that inmate. He said, if the Lord provides, then we're going to find a Bible study and we'll make it available to anyone on the inside that they can take this Bible study free of charge. And to make a long story short, that is what happened. We now have two print shops, one at the head office in Indiana, one in Ontario, and we print tens of thousands of Bible studies and hundreds of thousands of address books, and we offer them to the men and the women on the inside. And the reason we offer them this Bible study course is because we know that the Word of God is powerful and active, and it is the most influential in directing people's lives to Christ. And we're very excited. Many, many positive testimonies from inmates. I'll just read one of them for you right now. This one came with the test pages that an inmate sent in. At the center of this book, those are tarot test pages, and they get sent into our office in Saskatoon. And then we have graders who respond to the inmates. And here is just one little comment from a man through the Bible studies. My life belongs to God. God saved me from a very bad past, freed me. God has shown me great forgiveness, love, and peace. Eternal life with my God, I can hardly wait. My heart is at peace for the first time in 50 years. Now I know where I walk, and it's with God. No sadness, grief, worry, only happiness, where my heart will be full of worship for my God. God has changed my life so very much. Sometimes I feel like they have the wrong guy in jail. To feel as free in prison can't be right. Is it part of God's plan to let us feel good in here? Anyway, so the Bible study goes on long after we're gone out of the prison. It goes on, and we're excited about the fact of what God's Word is doing in the prisons here in Western Canada. With that, I'd like to show a short video. This morning we have a couple with us that is involved with Gospel Echoes out of Saskatoon. Robert and Marianne, you want to just come up and say a little something? They came into prison with us twice on Friday, a couple of days ago, and it was very meaningful, and so why don't you just share it with your partner?
Yeah, I'm Robert. Robert Fair, and this is my wife, Marianne. Like Ted said, we went to the prison on Friday, actually two prisons, and it was a first-time experience for us, and it really opened up our eyes. We're part of the fundraising committee, and what we try to do is raise funds for these Bible studies, the Bibles that they get after the four courses that they do, and all kinds of literature help the office run the guests and support them and buy as they travel. It takes money to run the bus and travel down the road. So we're kind of behind the scenes, people trying to raise funds for this ministry. Like Henry said last time, he's a partner in our committee there. His heart was on fire after he came to prison with us there, and then the wife and the family. That makes us want to do more, because we believe this is a very good cause. I don't know what else to say, but we were also surprised in the prison there. Lynn asked if there was anybody that wanted to play or sing, and there was a few guys that came up and they sang songs. I told one guy later, he was good enough to start his own band. I was so impressed with that. We learned they're people just like us. They're very friendly when we came in there. Happy to see us, and it was a good blessing.
I don't have much to say. My husband has spoken most of it. Utterly joy to go to the prison and read it from my eyes. And I really, really enjoy being in the fundraising committee. I sometimes feel we don't do a whole lot. We don't see what's happening. But when I came to the prison to see what Linda and I do, I'm very thankful for them, for their cheering. So we do the fundraising, support them in the Bible studies. And so prisons can do that so they can lead them to Christ. And if you feel like a calling in your heart, there's always help for greeting. This Bible study that's been sent in, they're always looking for people to help with greeting. So if you ever have a calling, you feel like you'd like to do, you can get in touch with Prosper Echoes. Thank you.
About 3 years ago, we were in the medicine Hat Reman Center. That's one of the places we love to go. That's one of the places that allows us to bring the family in. And there were volunteers at this service, Dale and Donna Miller. Now, we didn't know much about them, but we have gotten to know them over the years. We love and appreciate Dale and Donna Miller. And they happened to be in this area this weekend, and they said, hey, can we come into some of the prisons with you? And so we've gotten there for three of the prisons, and they're here in church today somewhere. Anyway, Dale and Don, would you please come and share a little bit of your story? This is a fantastic story of how God works in the lives of people.
My husband Dale, and like Lynn said, 3 years ago we met in the Reman Center in Medicine Hat, where we become very involved with the chaplain there and very involved with the inmates. What we do runs really deep in Dale and I, very deep, because we come from a past. What the Reimers go in to do is incredibly amazing and very, very powerful, how they go into the prisons and they witness and share the love of Christ with people. And like I say, it runs deep in Dale and I because we come from a history of that. I know what it's like to do a short little time in jail because of a bad choice I made 20 years ago. But I also know what a good choice is. And 20 years ago, I made the best decision of my life. I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I get the opportunity now to go in with my husband and share the love and the grace and the mercy of Christ. And you know, we all come from something. We all have a story to tell. And I'm not going to share much about myself today because I really feel that the Lord wants to speak through my husband. And he's actually the one that led me to the Lord 20 years ago. He's now a businessman, very successful businessman, but he comes from a history too. And while he was away on a business trip just recently, I went down to the Medicine Hat Library and I found an article that was written about him in 1975. And he's given me his blessing to read this article, and I'm doing it for the purpose of this. We have claimed Jeremiah 29:11 for our lives, for the lives we minister to in the prisons, and for every person we come in contact with. And it's this: Jesus has a plan for your life. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They're plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And that verse goes on to say, and when you seek me, you will find me, when you seek me with all your heart. And I have to tell you, the first part is a great promise, but the second part has come to mean more to me than the first part. Because it's shown me in the last 3 years that when we step out and we seek God with all our heart, oh my goodness, hang on tight, because he'll take you for the ride of your life. So as I read this about my husband in 1975, I'm doing it for the purpose of showing you that Jesus Christ touches and changes lives. A seven-persons man was sentenced to 9 months in jail in provincial court Friday after pleading guilty to two charges of assault causing bodily harm. Dale Miller, 18, assaulted a man in a residence on Cambridge Street in Medicine Hat He also assaulted another person on a residence in Cambridge Street on August 17th. This person suffered numerous cuts and had to be hospitalized, police said. Miller was also sentenced to 1 day in jail after pleading guilty to causing a disturbance in August. Police said Miller was banging on the hood of a car near the Royal Bank. Judge McDonald also recommended Miller seek psychiatric help. Jesus does not give up on people.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Donna said, my name is Dale. I'm her, I wouldn't say her better half. But I have to say before I start sharing this morning, we're not preachers. We share what we know. We share the fact that we know Christ is real and that we know He can change lives. Well, when I came in there this morning, you guys had a very nice lady greeting. I don't know her name. But when I walked into her church, who? And anyway, the way she treated us, it was kind to us, and she was still kind to us even when she found out I was from Alberta, so I kind of... A lot of people diss us because they think we're coming back here to steal your jobs. And that's not the truth. We're going through a little bit of a tough time back home, and I think you guys are being blessed right now, so good for you guys. You guys have been patient, and Saskatchewan deserves to see the economy turn around, and you guys are blessed now, so that's awesome. Anyways, touching a little bit on what Donna shared about me there. I think sometimes it's important you understand how people get to a point where you read certain articles about you, and when we read about people, we don't know them, and we think, oh, they're an animal. She's an animal. He's an animal. They act like animals. They must be animals. And that's not the truth. We've been doing this for about almost 3 years now. I get to see one animal. I get to see one right off in a prison. What I see, many chaplains that are here today, I think there's a lot of potential. And all these guys have to do is make that choice. And there's a whole new future and a whole new world for them. For me, I always like to talk in terms of before Christ and after Christ. So a little bit of what Donna shared about me there was before Christ. And I was 18 years old at that time, but to even get to that point, how does a person get to be that mean? I was never a big person. How do you get to be that mean and that violent? And I'll just share quickly with you one little story about what my childhood was like. It was a stepdad. And he didn't like me a lot. I didn't really know at the time why. You don't really ask these questions. I come from a large family, uncles and aunts, and they all got married, did the right thing, had kids. Some of them got pregnant before they got married, regardless, it was a good German Catholic family. That's how we did things back then. I was the only one that was born out of wedlock. And back in 1957, that really wasn't a real cool thing to be, and I didn't know that. Anyway, then my mom finally met somebody down the road, and she married him, and I guess fell in love with him and married him. And then there was Dale. And Dale really didn't fit in too well in that family. And he didn't like me from day one, I guess. I really don't like to really reflect too much back on that. But I can tell you about one time in particular when I was 9 years old, just to give you an idea of how I got to be the person that Donna read about. Not to make excuses, but just to get you guys to understand. I remember asking if I could go up and play, and I wasn't allowed to play a lot. And if I was allowed to play, I was by myself. I wasn't really allowed to play with kids, like normal kids, like going swimming, going to movies, riding bikes. It was like a real chore for me to get to be able to have that opportunity to do that. And there's one particular time when I asked if I could walk and play, and they said, where are you going to go? And I said, across the schoolyard, right across the street. And they said, okay, you can be home at 8. I said, okay. So I went to that schoolyard. I don't know how many kids play by themselves, a lot. And I was alone. So I left at the house. Well, you know what? Nobody's going to know. I left the schoolyard and walked 2 houses down. Kitty quarters in the school. And I went to a friend's place by the name of Leslie Graham and played there. And all of a sudden I kind of lost track of time and I said, what time is it? And I said, it's 8 o'clock. I said, oh my goodness, I gotta get home. So I run back over to the schoolyard and I was entering the schoolyard to see my stepdad leave. See him take off in the car. So I quickly run in the house and Mom says, where were you? And I said, I was over in the school. She said, your father's out looking for you. She said, you better go to your room. So I did it. And about 5 minutes later, I heard that door open. And that door opened and that door shut. I knew that was not going to be a good, good day. Anyways, he came in the bedroom and he asked, where were you? And I said, I was over in the schoolyard. He said, no, you weren't. And I said, yes, yeah, Dad, I was. And he said, no, you weren't. And I said, I was. And I kind of escalated, and he said, you were down to the river. And I said, no, Dad, I wasn't down to the river. And he started to holler at me a little bit more, and he seemed getting madder and madder, and I kept saying, I wasn't there. And he started to hit me with his hand. And he said, you were down to the river, Dad. And I said, no, Dad, I wasn't. And he started to hit me with his fist. And I said, I wasn't down to the river. And then he started to take his belt off, and he started to beat me with his belt off. And he kept telling me I was down to the river. And we were really talking about the lie. And I said, no, Dad, when I was cowering, I was on the bed. I remember my mom finally screaming. She said, Dale, just tell me you're down there. Just tell me you're down to refer to it. So I did that that day. I lied, and I said I was down to the river. And he quit. And that day, I said to myself, nobody will ever hurt me again. At the age of 9 years old, I swore that would happen. That would not happen. That nobody would. And that's just a little sample of what I got to experience as a kid. Because you're very defenseless when you're kids and you're cute. And you have an innocence. I never had a chance to have that innocence as a kid. I have it as a believer, but I didn't have it as a kid. And so, when I got older, I became more rebellious and more angry. A lot of people are probably not babysitting me too much. I do some crazy, crazy things. I don't have time to really go into that this morning. But I do remember that at the age of 18, when this took place, and I had done other things prior to that, the juvenile stuff really doesn't count. And I remember going to jail, and I remember being scared, and I remember now I just want a whole bunch of tough guys, and I was only about 150 pounds. Really, I wasn't tough. I was just scared and mean. And I remember people trying to do things to me when I was in prison, and I said, no, that ain't going to happen. And it didn't happen. And anybody that's been in prison knows what it's like when you first go in, being a new fish, being new, and when you're a little bit tiny, sometimes they test you. Anyways, I didn't struggle. I didn't do well in jail. I struggled. And I remember one day getting really, really down, and I decided to take my own life. I ended up having 174 stitches from slashing up one evening. And as the blood went through my mattress, I remember the guards coming in and they asked if you're okay. I remember that. And I don't remember saying anything. They drug me out of there, drug me to a hospital in Lethbridge, stitched me up, and said 174 stitches between my neck, my jugular vein, and my arms. And they brought me back and they threw me in the hole. And I said, I'm okay now. So I was just having a hard time adjusting. And they just said, no, Dale, you're not staying here. So from Lethbridge, they shipped me to Spy Hill. From Spy Hill, they shipped me to Fort Saskatchewan. By that time, it was 3 weeks. If anybody's ever had stitches and you leave them in for a long period of time, they tend to grow in. And at the Remand Center of Fort Saskatchewan in Edmonton, there was this big Native guy, and he said, Dale, I'll take out your stitches. He really wouldn't ask me, he was talented, I wouldn't go see a doctor. So he put me down in the bed, and the same razor blade, type of razor blade that I tried to hurt myself with, he actually started to cut and pull. And he took out all my stitches the best he could. From there, he sent me to a mental hospital. I don't know if anybody ever been in a mental hospital. First time going to prison stuff. First time I learned a lot that year. One thing about the mental hospital is that I found out after I adjusted there that these were people. And a lot of the people I lived with were serial murderers and rapists. And they did a lot of terrible things. But I got to know them all as people, and I'm very proud of the fact that I was able to do that, that God gave me that experience. And at the time, I really didn't know about God. And as I got out, I ended up spending an extra day in the mental hospital. It was at midnight. I was to be released. And I remember my mom and my stepdad. stepdad coming to get me. And I'm going, it's all coming with a picture. I said, I'm not going. So I ended up spending the next night at the correctional facility. Was kind enough to let me spend one more night with my friend. So I finally found a place for Dale Pitt. Anyways, the next day I went home. I wasn't home for very long. I run away when you're older like that. But I mean, I took off and I went to live with my grandparents. But life wasn't good. I was a mess. I was kind of brain down, which I guess you'd say. And I didn't know what all the problems were. And I remember I got married. For 5 years I worked hard at a job. I had two kids, and there was something missing. Anyways, I ended up in a domestic. I ended up having a bunch of cops coming to my house, a bunch of guns. Ended up looking at a 4 to 5 year debt, which is a pretty long time. I was devastated. At this time, I was broken. And I remember laying in jail cell in Medicine Hat. And this guard came to my cell and asked if I wanted a cop. I was 28 years old. And I said, yeah. I was feeling terrible about myself. I was brokenhearted. And I had this coffee with this man. And he told me about Jesus. And he told me about God. And really the simple thing is that he just cared for me. To deal with my reading and some of the stuff about you. Something doesn't line up. And I believe he's seen something in me that God sees in all of us, whether we see it or not. He's seen that in me. And I didn't see it, but I did feel it. And I said to myself, no matter what it takes, one day I want what that man has. I'm 52 now, and I believe I have what that man has. And it was just a real simple thing. It took me 2.5 years later, December 7th of 1988, to actually really accept Jesus into my life, into my heart. But I've done that, and I've received blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And I went from divorce, losing my kids, bankrupt, social reject in a small community, Because people say, you know, things involve me and I'm a little bit weird and all that kind of stuff, and people didn't really want to get too close to me. So I was kind of like a leper in a way. But today I have to thank God. I thank God for the good times, and I really be cheating God, but I didn't thank God for a little bit that I shared with you this morning about before Christ. It's really the after Christ stuff that I like people to focus on. So for anybody that's got the opportunity to go to a prison, anybody who's got the opportunity to go to a mental hospital and live there, and anybody who's got the opportunity to hear the parable of Christ and has received that and believed it. I have a great man education. I do very well in business. I have a Crown Prosecutor that thinks the world of Dale Miller. I have a judge that likes me. I have cops who like me now. You know what? I like me now. But it took me a while to get to that point. Is there anybody here today that doesn't know about Jesus? And doesn't know about what he can do in your life? I guess I'm just a small example of what he does. He takes junk and he turns it into stuff. And I'm hoping that the rhymers sing a masterpiece song here this morning. I'm hoping that they will. I'm asking indirectly. But we've been so blessed. These doors that this couple, this family, beautiful family, have opened for Don and I to come in and share with inmates. But that's really what we probably feel comfortable with. We don't get the judgment in a jail. I get that acceptance. And not to take anything away from churches, but sometimes I feel that we don't always go to where the people need us. So we continue to go to where we're needed. We're equipped to do what we're doing. And we thank God for giving us that equipment. I have a beautiful wife now, 20 years. I don't hurt her. I don't touch her. I broke that cycle of the Bible 27 years ago. So there you go, Marty. We don't have the Christian lineage yet, but we're working on it. We got 7 kids. We got some, she had some, I had some. And somehow, that's God's plan too. So thank you very much for having us this morning. Thank you for letting us share, speak. And hopefully there's something that we said that touched somebody, or somebody believes in what we said and knows that the power, the love of Christ is a healing. teach me. Thank you very much.
Thanks for being here this morning.